Welcome everyone back to We're Live, Pal. After a super busy pro wrestling weekend, Andrew and I are here to talk about a little bit about Forbidden Door, talk about Blood and Guts, talk about John Cena just being an absolute superstar last night on Raw. And we're going to bring on a guest. So let's bring on everybody here at once. Mel Gray is our guest. She was live at Forbidden Door. She's going to be live at Blood and Guts. What a pro wrestling few days for you. Mel is the co-host of a show called Power Bombshells. It's actually on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel if you want to check that out. Her and Sam Shipman every week just talking all the stuff that's going on in wrestling, you know, except they kind of they don't really talk too much WWE, which is fine because everyone talks WWE. But Mel, welcome to the show, and very happy to have you here. Let's just get right into it. Forbidden Door, you were there live. What could Andrew and I not see because we weren't there? We're watching on TV that you were able to see from you know, just an environment perspective.
First of all, thanks, guys. This is a perfect interlude between Sunday started out with Forbidden Door, and I'm doing this today, chatting with you, and then going to the Forbidden Door, which was amazing and was everything that you couldn't see how many people were there and understood like what was happening. There were so many people that were there like, this is the greatest thing ever. We are experiencing something that just about no one's ever going to see. There were a sprinkling that it was like a peppering of haters about the place.
Which really? There were actually people who were negative on that
Yeah,
stuff?
Yeah. There were people that were hate watching. The two people sitting next to me were actually kind of funny. I actually was calling them the Cameron Fry of the Forbidden Door because they didn't see anything good that night, and it was amazing. They were hilarious. There were a few people. I actually called it we were sitting in the wet blanket section, and and part of that was because in the HP Pavilion, if they still call it that, how they have the, you know, the ring, the Jumbotron, so you can see it from all directions. Yes. Our section couldn't see it because the retractable banner, they never retracted it. So couldn't see all the ring reaction stuff that were happening, like in the corners and on the ground. Yeah. Like, we couldn't see that stuff. I had to listen to Observer Radio the next day to realize that there were banners on the thing about upcoming shows.
Right.
And I guarantee that if that section could have seen more of what was going on, like, we couldn't see the video packages. Like, you'd get a couple of those video packages going on there, and we couldn't see them. If they were trying to advertise to us, like, if you could type your ticket code in and get, you know, revenue or something, like, for them, where it was like, type your ticket code in and you can buy this t-shirt right now. We didn't see any of that. Like, so, and I have a picture on one of our Instagrams that I'll post to the Power Bombshells account, but that had our view. And so that took away in our area, in like a pie slice of the Venn diagram. But it didn't matter because there was nothing that was going to make it seem less loud in there. There was no way that section was going to dampen what was happening. The section
right next
to me. I was
going to ask you that, actually. You brought something up that's interesting. You know, on TV, it was really loud, that building.
Oh, my God.
Very, very loud. How was it? Did you watch it back and see the comparison of how it was in the building versus outside of the building?
See, because I didn't buy it on pay-per-view because I bought it in building. I haven't watched it back yet. I don't know if it's on New Japan World. I'm subscribed. So if it's on New Japan World, I can go back and watch it, hopefully. I want to hear, I was seeing people tweeting about the ringside commentary and it sounded amazing and I would love to hear that. But, you know, I don't know. It was just, it never quieted down. It was always there. There was always a buzz in the building. It always felt like everyone knew what they were experiencing. And yeah, I mean,
so, so Andrew and I were at All Out, which was probably the best wrestling show that I've ever been to live. And Mel, I can't remember if you were at All Out or not, but how does Forbidden Door compare to some of the other wrestling events that you've been to live? Because it sounds like it should rank very high up on that list.
So I went to WrestleMania 19, WrestleMania 35, and I was at Madison Square Garden and this. And nothing will ever... Well, next year's, hopefully, Forbidden Door. We were walking away from the building, and my husband Bob looked at me and went, you know we're going to have to do this every year, right? it's all over. It was fantastic. Like,
Chicago's a great city.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was my first time in Chicago. Kind of dawned on me, like, late last night and early this morning. I was like, I didn't wake up there. I kind of want to go back and start over. And I was like, oh, wait, you're good. And it was perfect because we could we could take the train everywhere. We were walking around. We walked all over on Saturday. It was great. It was like the perfect spot. I don't know if they'll switch spots, but if they didn't, I'd be so excited. And for me, you know, it's Detroit, so you spend more time going through TSA and, you know, doing all the dance with the airlines than you do getting there. They make you check your bags in the little, it's like the tiny plane. It's like, here, 38 of you, get on this plane. You're in the air for 25 minutes. You're taxi, you know, it's crazy. It everything but the flight is long. So it's, and you can
Andrew,
take, we went into mid,
yes.
We went into midway and phew.
I have a question for you, Andrew. So on Twitter, I'm seeing friends of ours,
yes.
Denise, of course, we got to bring up Denise. Will Washington, people like that who were at the show. Like I'm seeing,
Will was on TV.
Yeah, and he's the famous Will Washington shot is the shot from the flight, right? Right before the flight leaves, he'll take a quick shot and go traveling again. Did you feel like, you know, man, I wish. Did you have a little bit of like, man, I really wish
FOMO.
I should have been there. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I definitely had FOMO. I wanted to go, to be honest. Rich and I were thinking about going, but actually, it's good that I didn't book because there's no way I could go with a fractured hip. But
yeah,
I feel like if I didn't watching it, I felt fulfilled, right? Because it was a really good pro wrestling show.
Sure,
I felt super fulfilled from it, so I didn't really have like, man, I wish I was there. If it was like All Out, how All Out was for us, then I definitely would have felt like I missed out on so much, compared to, you know, last year's All Out was like a big party for everybody, but,
yes.
I felt super fulfilled with the show. So I was good. I definitely had FOMO going into it.
Yeah. I don't think I did until I saw Will's, photo from the airplane and I was like, this would have been a fun show to go
to. He was on TV, right?
Yeah,
he was on TV and I think it was during the Keith Lee and the Swerve Scott match.
Uh-huh.
And the camera goes on Will and I look at my wife. I go, I know that effing guy. She looks at me like, isn't that Will? I'm like, yeah. He goes, why are you saying it like that? I'm like, I'm so excited he's on TV right now.
Yeah. And not only that, you saw did you see the presser where I forget if it was Cash or Dax. Shouted out the Grapsity pod when he actually asked him a question.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Very cool. Very cool.
So this is to both of you, but we'll go to Mel first, which is on a show where every match was good and near great. What stood out to you the most as like your main takeaway? Like if you have one takeaway from this show from a wrestling perspective, Mel, which match is going to be the one that you just remember and associate with this show forever?
Definitely. I mean, the main event was amazing. It was One of the things I realized at one point is that I think we were all, nobody was rooting for anybody. They were literally saying Tanahashi Moxley. It wasn't like they were splitting the words. I realized I was doing it a few times. I was rooting for Tanahashi and I was rooting for Moxley. And people that I think didn't watch, like the gal in front of me clearly hadn't been to many or any wrestling shows, and other than the Orange Cassidy Will Ospreay match, which she totally got into, she loved that match. I mean, she was like cheering for that match. It's just the main event was exactly as good as it looked on TV. And I mean, with, you know, the Okada match, obviously with that injury and the things that went on, but like the Okada match was, Okada and Tanahashi are so like neck and neck almost for just being big giant stars. And Okada was like, there was one spot where he landed in a group of people and I was like, whoa, that's going to be like, the reaction was those people, like, it was like God had fallen into their laps and they were so excited. And it, but I just, that main event, it was like, no one knew who to cheer for. People were saying out loud, I don't know who I'm rooting for here. It was like they didn't. It was a moment where people stopped. I don't think anyone would have cared. I think that just if it had happened and they had given that belt to Tanahashi and said, you know, we're going to make him the interim champion for a little while and see what he does when CM Punk comes back. Like, I think that no one would have cared. I think they would have cheered just as loud. Plus, that's got to be like one of the first times Tana's been in an arena where people were chanting "Go Ace." I mean, he hasn't been in a lot of buildings that large with that many people for the last few years because of the plague situation.
Pandemic. Yeah.
So it was like, yeah. It was great. It was such a fun, it was everything you want a main event to be. It was everything you want the conclusion to be. And then he cut a promo afterwards. I don't know if that was on air or not, but Jon Moxley was covered in blood and holding the microphone. And essentially he was like talking about how the only reason we were all there wasn't about crusty, silly sports entertainment, you know, hats and whatever. It was about pro wrestling, you know, appropriate Mox language, pro wrestling. it was like, preach. And he was so happy. It wasn't just about the belt. It was about everything that had happened. And all of it was like, I swear to God, like the audience had to be close to hugging each other the way Tony hugged Claudio, because damn. I mean, it was amazing. It was, I think we all felt that way a little bit when we were there. Yeah. Like,
everyone was Tony Khan hugging Claudio. So, Andrew, for one, Mel, I'm glad that people did not chant both these guys, because that's one of my least favorite chants of pro wrestling audience. But, Andrew, Andrew, what was your favorite match from the show?
Favorite match is going to be tough. That opener was better than I expected. I mean, I expected a lot from it, but it was way better than I thought. The Will Ospreay match was definitely a sleeper. I don't think a lot of people expected what we got out of there.
Is it getting five stars?
Oh, not for me.
Not for me either.
Not for me.
But I've seen people who are sort of critical of Orange, who were like, that's five stars. And so to be
interesting, you know what it is? It depends on how you rank your scale, right? Like, I rank mine differently than Dave's. You know, we all have a different measurement of what a five-star, six-star, seven-star match is. I don't know. I generally put in the storyline, like, the build plays a big part for me in how I rank if it's a five-star match. You could have a fantastic match with two great guys, and it could be a crazy, crazy match. But how do you rank that five stars and rank something like, I'm just giving an example, right? John Cena and CM Punk in this long feud And then they have a five-star match. I it's a difficult way to compare, but I think it's up there. Four stars, five stars. It doesn't matter, right?
Because I will tell you, and I don't have to be Nostradamus to make this prediction. If Orange Cassidy gets five stars, Twitter is going to hell on Friday. And pro wrestling Twitter is going to have an absolute cow.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of want to see it. It may not have been five stars to me, you know, I thought Ospreay was tremendous. And I thought Orange very, very, especially in the end, he played his part very well. I think Dave will probably go 4.5 or 4.75 just because maybe the beginning was a little shticky, but the end was really good. But I cut you off. Sorry, I went on a tangent, but your favorite match?
The FTR match, probably my favorite match on the show. Best match, I don't know. Let me ask you that. What was your favorite and what do you think was the best? Or is it the same for you?
So the only problem for my favorite match was the finish. And surprisingly, or not surprisingly, if people understand how much I love watching Okada, that match was so good. And the reason why I thought it was so good is because not only was the work good, but what sometimes when you watch matches, you go, wow, I want to see a match between X and X. And after that match was over, my immediate thought was Adam Page and Okada somewhere down the line is money. Those guys, because of how physical they are, because of their athleticism. I mean, they're sort of, Okada might be an inch taller or whatever, but the way that those guys wrestle, that is like just by far the next dream match for me is Paige and Okada. So there was some of that for me. That was my favorite. I know a lot of people will probably say the Sting match with the Young Bucks, and I get it, but you know, there's some goofy stuff in there that you can kind of pick at with, like, you know, the jumping backflip, back rakes, and all that stuff, which will find tremendously fun, which I thought it was fun, but others will go like, oh, like, you know, that takes away whatever your taste is. Like Andrew said, everyone has a different taste, but yeah, just for pure wrestling, I'm probably mostly always going to go with Okada. I like Mel's pick too, because you know, we were all kind of wondering after Wednesday, like, oh, does Tanahashi still have it? Maybe he was saving it. This is essentially what
he looked way better. He looked so much better. Yeah, whatever it was, he loosened up because he was walking so stiff on Wednesday. But I'll tell you this. There were two standouts of this show, and it wasn't any major established name, in my opinion. It was Clark Connors and it was Shooter. Those two. And you could tell, like, you know, you look at booking, right? There are moments that you look at, like, how things are booked. And maybe if you're a casual fan or you're not familiar with a product, you miss these things. Yes. Clark Connors went in that match as really just a not even a thought, really, right? Because it was a last minute replacement. Who knew how it would come out? And he turned himself into a star. You know, he looked like a million bucks. He looked great. I was so impressed by, I mean, I'm familiar with him, but there were a lot of people that aren't that follow AEW and follow, you know, even non-casual AEW fans. They're not familiar with him. They don't watch New Japan Strong. This dude looked unbelievable. And Shooter, they made a big deal out of that guy. And I could see him.
He looks like young Tanahashi to me.
He does, yeah, and he's you know, and he's like kind of beefy,
yeah.
He's a little beefy. He's not this small guy. Those two really stood out to me. And
one thing I've learned about you is you kind of like the beefy wrestlers.
I do like the beefy guys. Yeah, I'm a body guy. Yeah, listen, how can I not be? I come from a body. Don't look at me how I look now. Look at my lineage.
You've sent me photos of your pops. Holy cow.
My pops was a bodybuilder too. Yeah. You know what's crazy though? I posted that picture on Father's Day on Twitter. I want you guys to take a look. And I want you guys to remember, he's only 9 years old in that photo. Okay? They don't make them like they used to. But my grandfather was a bodybuilder, my dad. So I like I'm not saying that you need to be Ryback, right? But I like a little size on you.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
I like to watch what I can't do, you know? I thought those two look great. And one more thing with Garrett. I just want to say, FTR, if there was any doubt that these guys, on them being probably the best tag team in the world right now, I don't think there was any doubt left after that showing. They are so freaking good. And it's not just like the in-ring, right? We know they're good in there, but the psychology behind it, that match was put together so well. And they are the best tag team in the world right now.
They are having so much fun, which I think you can see in their in the presentation, in the matches. They're so inspired, they're so passionate. And as we know, that wasn't how it was, you know, in their last days of WWE. Okay, quickly, I just want to mention, we have a new Twitter feed, if you don't know. It's yes. At WLP, for We're Live Pal, at WLPF4W. Shoot us your favorite match, if you're listening or if you're watching. Just shoot us a tweet for what your favorite match was. And we'll retweet some of those. I'm very interested because I think when you have such a show where there's just such a variety of great matches, I think everyone's favorite match is kind of a different one. So that's awesome. Mel, one more thing before we let you go here, which is we kind of talked about it. Blood and Guts is in your hometown here. I know you've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a TV to come to you. And you're going to get a good one. Like what are your expectations here for Wednesday night?
After the weekend, I'm kind of hoping some people stick around. Like, I'm not going to lie. If I get a few, you know, another Suzuki show or, you know, something like that, it's not going to make me cry. That'll be the third time I've seen him in the last 3 months, and it will not break my heart at all. I am curious if they are going to have anyone stick around just to see, just it's such a quick thing, but I don't know, because I bought those Dynamite tickets and we were just going to go to Dynamite, and it was even before these rumors, and then it ended up being like, oh, hey, you get to follow it up with like the big Blood and Gut show. And I don't know, because the heels have the advantage in the way that things have been going with all of these new guys. I mean, I don't know. It's hard right now because I just am like, my brain is processing how many things I've gotten to see from the companies. And I mean, FTR is going to, they're going to be out there with those belts, like every belt in the world. They're actually the ones holding the IWGP heavyweight belts. That says those are going to be the guy. I mean, when there is potentially a future event in Japan, they were like, well, these are the first guys going because they've got this belt here. And that's, I mean, how important they are. So Detroit is going to be very excited to have any event, let alone, I mean, the GCW crowd here is huge. So this is just a little kind of, I mean, you put Blood and Guts on something and they'll probably go just because of that. But we haven't had any, you know, it used to be a lot of Evolve here and in the metro area and things like that. Like,
same
we haven't
for me.
Had
same for me
wrestling
here.
Shows anywhere. That's why, I mean, I think the WrestleTix just normal feed was saying that they had actually sold over 10,000 tickets for this, and that would not shock me at all, because one of my friends from we couldn't find each other, but one of my wrestling buddies that used to go to Evolve with me was actually at Forbidden Door for the same sort of reason, where it's like, it's 5 seconds away, let's go. I mean, some people could drive it. So basically the big like shows that we would go see haven't been around. And yeah, I mean, I got to imagine like Excalibur and Danhausen are going to make appearances somehow, and Danhausen especially, because, you know, they're local. You know, Rhino always makes an appearance at just about every wrestling show I've ever been at here on the big, so I'm sure he'll show up. But I just think because of the fact that there hasn't been wrestling here, it's going to make everything that goes on at Blood and Guts big. I think that there will be big responses to it. And so I expect that it'll be a rowdy, fun crowd, and I'll be totally awake for it again. And, you know, who doesn't need another 5 hours of wrestling in their life after? I mean, come on, let's be real.
All right. So before we let you go, let people know where they can find you on the social media with not only Power Bombshells, but also your personal Twitter. If you want to give that out, you don't have to. But yeah, let people know where they can find you talking about wrestling.
Well, it is at MelGray8, and I did do some tweetering from the arena, so I guess that could be a thing for Blood and Guts, too. And at Power Bombshells is the big place, because, I mean, Sam and I love to talk about these things and share our feelings for them. So that's the big one. And then, of course, the Fight Game Media YouTube channel, because we are super-duper exclusive and one of the fun shows. We had the episode, they did the recap. So if you want to listen to something fun, they did the recap for the show, the Farindor show. And we had we had James, Kevin, Steven, and Paul, who are all on the Fight Game Media Network. It took four men to replace me, but Sam. So that was episode 18, but that's definitely worth a rewatch. And I started rewatching it, and they had a great conversation about it too. So it was really fun to see those guys do the thing. And all right. I mean, this is great. I really awesome being able to talk to you guys about it and go next year, because I think it'll measure up. If they do it next year and it becomes a thing, I think it will start to measure up to your All Out experiences based on what you've all said. I mean, I feel like I was at something that is pretty, a big deal.
Yeah. Pretty historic. All right. Thank you, Mel.
Thanks, Mel.
And really appreciate you hanging out. And so Andrew,
yes, sir.
Let's keep the conversation on Forbidden Door just for a second. Then we're going to move on really quickly.
Yes.
So how would you like to see this relationship continue? Like, are we only going to get one show in the U.S. every year, and that's the partnership? Or is there a possibility of going to Japan and doing a New Japan version of this show?
I think they're going to have to do the New Japan version. I don't know if they'll call a Forbidden Door, but it seems like, you know, everybody was pretty happy with this. You know, like, great example, right? New Japan looked really good on the show. It wasn't a one-sided card. It wasn't that they're going
L's,
to an AEW show.
They definitely took some.
They did, but, you know, everything they did, though, made sense. And there was a reason for it. FTR winning that match only heightens New Japan right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got two young guys over as stars. Will Ospreay, obviously, this dude is $1 million. Yep. Okada looks great. Tanahashi, he lost, but he didn't lose. He still looked like Tanahashi. There was no negative here. The only thing I would say is, how do you continue this? Does this become a thing where occasionally Tanahashi shows up on AEW TV, or Okada shows up and you have a big match with Okada, or do you wait and do it twice a year or once a year, whatever it is? I do think this was a successful show. Now, as far as what it does for the buy rate for the pay-per-view, I don't know. I think Tony said like 100,000, right? He was thinking it's going to be a little like around 100. Mm-hmm. I would like them to do hard shows like this where it's AEW versus New Japan a lot. The whole card is just that, twice a year maybe. And then you can bring in those guys every now and then, every couple months, and bring somebody in and do some sort of cool match. But, you know, someone in our chat room, Redmond in our chat room, brings up an interesting point. He goes, God, imagine AEW guys will be on the Wrestle Kingdom show next year. And I think that would be huge for them.
So this is where I'm leaning, which is, I feel like you brought this up. Maybe it wasn't you, but this conversation has been around. I'm not creating anything new. People have suggested this, which is, you know, Wrestle Kingdom is 2 days. And I think last year it was 3 days, if you count that Noah show. If we say Wrestle Kingdom on the 3rd, and then day two of Wrestle Kingdom is actually the Japanese version of the Forbidden Door show, I think that would be a great way to continue doing this. Now, if you think about it, so January until July, end of June, July, that's about 6 months. So it'd be the halfway point, right? If you wanted to do two.
I think that'd be great.
January and late June or early July, that sounds like a great plan. I would love to see it, because I would love to see the New Japan presentation of this show. You know, I'm sure the broadcast would be different. The way that they shoot it would be different. The presentation of the wrestlers would be different. And I want to see that as well, because I thought the AEW version was good. Hearing Kevin Kelly was awesome. You know, JR and Tony were not on the entire show, and that let sort of Kevin do his thing with Excalibur. I thought they were really good together. So, yeah, I'm just excited to see, you know, what other things that they have in mind to do. And I think it's a really good partnership. And for if you are giving immediate fan service to a pretty good majority of your hardcore fan base, this is the way to do it, because that show was excellent. And I can't imagine that if you do shows with those rosters and you put the best matches together, you could do this for years and years and years and not run out of really good matchups.
But you know what, Garrett, here's the other part of this, right? This show derailed their TV for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
You know, like we got to also remember that it came at a very, I don't know if they should run it in this week, the week that they ran it next time with a pay-per-view that comes right before it. I think it was a lot of rushing that went on between, and the great example, and we brought this up last week, the hair versus hair match and Blood and Guts got trampled over between the pay-per-view, the fallout of the pay-per-view, MJF, and then obviously the injuries. But it really, it to me, it messed up the flow for a couple of weeks. Not saying that it was bad TV. It was just they had to redo everything so quickly with no break and didn't allow them to kind of get stories put in place. Maybe they should wait a couple of weeks to kind of get past Double or Nothing and move into something else. You know, I don't know if it was a booking of the building thing. Quite possibly that's what it was. But
you also have the G1 coming up. So you had to get a lot of this stuff done before the G1. I agree with you. From a perspective of wrestling television, there were good segments on these shows the last few weeks, but overall, I thought the shows were like on speed, and I don't like to feel anxious when I'm watching wrestling.
Yeah,
like, where I can't,
that's
like,
how
I
it was.
Can't keep up, you know. All right, we're gonna move on here. Also, if you are listening, and tweet at us if you know what my coffee mug is. Shoot
what are you drinking?
I'm actually drinking bone broth.
Are you really?
Yeah,
I'm a big bone broth fan.
I usually drink
bone broth. I'm drinking.
I know.
Drinking
I could tell. You're drinking
Blanc.
Something a little bit better. you're drinking something a little bit better than bone broth. But whenever we do this show, I usually drink bone broth because it's a little bit too late for coffee. But I still want something. I'm the type of person when I kind of lose. I don't lose my voice, but if I talk too fast and I'm not thinking about it, you know, I can kind of start coughing or something. So I like to keep some sort of drink next to me. If you shoot us at WLPF4W is our new Twitter feed. So if you know what that mug is, shoot us a note. All right. Because the reason is because Andrew was close. Mel was way off. Andrew was a little closer, but both of them didn't get it. Okay. Let's talk about we talked about Blood and Guts. Let's talk about John Cena on Raw.
Yeah.
It's so funny when they bring back the stars, right? We saw this with Austin when Austin came back for WrestleMania. And we've seen it in the past when Rock comes back. You realize when John Cena comes back how good John Cena really was. And how for granted we took John Cena, because we just saw him every week, every week, every week, every week. But when he comes back after being gone, you're like, oh my God, he is so good. And he stands out from a star perspective as bigger than life. And, you know, Roman does as well. Brock does as well. In some, maybe not now, but previously Becky did, previously Ronda did. Previously, Charlotte did. But like right now, he stands out as this giant star. And that's a lot of what I love about wrestling, is just to see people where I'm like, that person's cool. That person's a star. You know, and when I was younger, I want to be like that, you know, that kind of thing. And he just showed up. He cut a promo. It was really good. Little, you know, little pandering, like a really good version of a Hulk Hogan promo. But yeah, like did you enjoy seeing him on Raw last night? Because I had a blast watching.
Yeah. Yeah, man, he's great. He's fantastic. I think a lot of it was with Cena. Like, I think about this a lot. If he had gone heel at one point, mm-hmm. what would the legacy of John Cena have been? Could it have become like a Roman Reigns type situation? I don't know if John Cena would be as convincing as a heel as Roman is. But, I mean, this Cena that we got last night was everything you want it to be. It's the Hulk Hogan, you know, super babyface, funny. He's a little bit of a dick, but it's okay because it's John Cena. And people ate it up. Their viewership was crazy high, 1.95 million, I think, right?
Oh, I didn't even see
the rating. They did almost 2 million views. Yeah, yeah, I think they did almost 2 million. So that's 2 weeks back to back that they've had really successful numbers. And this is a product that it was like, you know, a year ago we were talking, will their numbers drop down to AEW levels? You know, 1.4 million is where they were sitting some weeks. So I think they have realized that they have a lack of star power to bring. And now with 2 weeks back to back, maybe this is leading it to something. The only issue I have with Cena is that he didn't announce a match and he said, like, hey, listen, guys, I'm going to have a match. I don't know when, but it won't be my last. I'll see you guys later. And he left. That's pretty much what I got from it, from that promo.
I know. Weren't you expecting someone to come out? Or just that's just how we're trained as wrestling fans, right?
Maybe, like maybe that it's our promo, conditioning, yeah.
Yeah, that promo was like, oh, it means we're getting some sort of story. And then when he walked out, I was like, wait, what happened? Nothing happened.
Yeah. But, dude, you know, it says something, though, right? Like, it says something about... First of all, they had 10,000 people in that building, right?
Yeah.
Cena moved almost, maybe it was almost 10,000, but Cena moved like almost 4,000 tickets.
Amazing.
In a week from announcing, you know, like he moved a ton of seats. So who else does that currently for them?
Very few, right? Very few people. All right. So this conversation that we're having about John Cena made me think of another conversation, which is the Mount Rushmore of WWE superstars. Now, this is not necessarily the Mount Rushmore of best wrestlers in WWF history when it comes to work rate, right? This is like biggest stars in WWE history. And I'm giving a caveat because the problem is if you do this list and you omit Bruno Sammartino, you just really can't do the list. So we're going to do 84 to now. So Hogan, the Hogan run and on. It makes it a little bit easier. Then you don't have to like measure the drawing power of Bruno Sammartino and Bob Backlund and Superstar Graham and guys like that. So
who sold out the Garden more, Billy Joel or Bruno?
Wait,
you know,
did you go?
You know, I did go.
How
and they
it?
Hung a banner up for most sellouts at the Garden, right? But as a music act.
Oh, okay.
It was most sellouts as a music act. They didn't say most sellouts as whatever, as an act. So maybe Bruno still has the record at the Garden. I think Bruno still has that record.
So let's talk about this because we had a short discussion in text about who you would put on your list for biggest WWF, WWE stars, Mount Rushmore.
So you asked me this, right? And I had I didn't even have to think about it. It was one of those because it was such a specific answer. And I think you could plug and play a lot of people, right? As like big names, big draws, depending on the time frame, depending on when, depending on who. I would say if we are going based on just draw power in their peak, who is their Mount Rushmore? It has to be Hogan, Austin, Rock, Cena. I know there's a little bit of room for an argument for other people, but I mean, tell me no. Tell me those aren't the guys that changed the business for them.
See,
you know, Taker,
that would
go,
be my
Shawn,
answer,
Brett,
too.
You know, but did they change the business?
Tangentially, Brett leading into Austin was
creating
a
boom.
Sean and Brett having their scenario in late 97 was, you know, not directly related to that boom, but it was sort of like the bubbling of it. But I agree with you. Those would be my four. now you'll have people say, I think the one person that is probably number five on this list, though some people would want to find room for, is The Undertaker. And the majority of that is based on longevity, right? Because he starts in 1991, is an immediate main eventer, and then he lasts until, I don't know, when. What would we consider his retirement? Would it have been last year, the year before? So that's a long span of him essentially being a top guy in WWE. So I would give someone an argument to say, okay, but if someone says Triple H, I get it. I understand it. He did everything he could possibly do to stay on top, but I don't think he's with those guys. I don't think Shawn is with those guys either. And that's not a shot at them. Like, this is the tippity top. Like, these guys are the next level down. But I couldn't think of anyone else other than The Undertaker to argue with you about this. I think you're right on the money.
Yeah, I mean, there's always an argument, right? Like, okay, secondary list. You could do a secondary list somewhere and you could come up with a lot of these names. I just think that you have to look at gate, business, and money, you know? And I don't think anybody was ever bigger than Austin, Hogan, Cena, and Rock. Those are the guys that people still remember all the time. Taker, an argument for him. I'm seeing a lot of Brett. I'm seeing a lot of Sean in the chat room on YouTube.
Yeah.
Triple H, obviously, an argument for him.
Some of that, I bet you, is based on when they first started watching wrestling.
Of course.
Right? Because if you started watching Brett and Sean, then you probably think that Brett and Sean were the biggest stars ever. Also, I'm going to say it again just to, we got to get this Twitter handle in people's minds. At WLPF4W, send us your Mount Rushmore of post.
Listen, not everybody started watching wrestling like us when George Hackenschmidt was world champion, okay?
Yes, exactly. But, I mean, you can sort of tell when I started watching when I said, okay, let's start at Hogan. that makes it a lot easier for folks is to start at Hogan. But this is a super fun discussion. I think, on one of those podcasts that may be a little more evergreen, you can really have like the tiers, like who are the biggest star, and then we're not even considering WCW, NWA, because then that changes the game, and then Flair has to be considered in some way, right? Dusty has to be considered in some way. So it's just a super fun discussion, and I love having stuff like that because it's also super arguable. And no, there's no real right or wrong answers unless Dave says so. If Dave says so,
unless Dave tells us,
yeah, maybe we'll.
Dave looked at me when we went at dinner the day of the show. Dave looked at me. I said something about someone being, and he looked at me. He goes, "Are you effing kidding me?" He goes, "I don't want to sit next to you." And he moved his chair over. He's like, "You don't know anything," and he just walked away. And then you know what he did? He did one of these flexes, like one of these, like Hogan, and he just ripped his shirt off and just took off. Everybody was just standing like, I can't believe Dave did that.
Oh, man. That if Dave even did 1% of what you just said, it would be hilarious.
I would want that so badly. I really want Dave to like just get me in a headlock with those giant biceps.
I don't know.
Unbelievable, that man.
You might get those cauliflower ears. All right. So let's talk about the Money in the Bank show. And I was looking, I've been paying attention to Raw, a little bit less to SmackDown because SmackDown is at the end of the week and I'm just like burnt and I sometimes I get to it and sometimes I don't. But I'm looking at this card and I'm trying to think of when there was less of a interest in sort of the main event big picture on a wrestling show, because
on a show, Garrett, that was going to be a stadium. That was going to be in a stadium.
Amazing.
This was the card. I mean, this would have been pretty much the card.
But okay, so there is Ronda, there is Becky,
okay,
there is Seth. Drew is going to main event the September pay-per-view. He is
but Drew's in the match, right?
Drew's in the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
So, but that's the level of stardom that we're talking about, unless something changes. So, what it means is there's no Brock,
Oh no.
There's no Roman. Obviously there's no Cody.
Are you sure there's no Brock?
I mean, it wouldn't there's
a
you...
There's a Turnbuckle Dan in that ladder match that we don't know about. A TBD.
Yeah, Turnbuckle Dan. Don't you think that could be Dan. Kevin Owens?
I want it to be Brock Lesnar. He just walks in at the end and grabs that briefcase again.
But doesn't he already have the shot at SummerSlam?
He should take everything.
Gets double shots?
It's WWE.
Oh, I get it. Well, actually, you know what? For SummerSlam, they said it was already for both titles. So if it was only for one title, then he grabs this briefcase and he's like, I want both titles now. That would be cool. Actually, I think a lot of people would hate that, but I would laugh. I would get a little chuckle. Can I ask you something about Matt Riddle?
Yes.
So Matt
Riddle. That mushroom tattoo's got to go.
what about, doesn't he just have a shirt that says Randy on it now?
Amazing. It's so good.
By the way, John Cena's hat, the Hustle Loyalty Respect hat. Did you see that? Did you see the hat that he was wearing?
No. No.
Tremendous hat. And Phil Lindsay from the Grap City podcast, he pointed this out because I was like, they're copying somebody's logo and I couldn't remember what it was. The old LA Raiders hat that NWA used to wear all the time.
Oh, is that what it is?
They copied the exact same font for Hustle Loyalty and Respect. So
is it in the WWE shop?
Yeah. I don't know. He was wearing it last night.
I see it. It says Respect. Yeah. It is the old Raiders one. Yeah.
So that might be one. Okay. So back to Matt Riddle. We watched him in the main event of two SmackDowns ago. They do this giant number. Brock comes in at the end. Riddle loses this match, can never challenge Roman Reigns again. And so then Monday, Riddle is kind of hot, right? And then they have him lose to Omos immediately. Now, he's funneled his way back into the Money in the Bank because he won the Battle Royal. So he's, you know, the what do they call that? The loser's chance or whatever they call it. He's back in. Do you think that, like, what is your knowledge of sort of how they do things? Why did Riddle have to backdoor his way into this match when I felt like, I was like, oh man, Roman, you know, and Riddle had this great match. Riddle's even more made than he was. Now he's like a legit guy. Yeah. And then on last Monday, then they beat him. And now, you know, he's sort of funneled back in. But what is your understanding of why they would go that route with him?
Sometimes, Garrett, I don't know if you know this about WWE, and this may be a big revelation for everybody watching this. Sometimes they have no idea what they're doing. I don't know. And you know, Riddle is an easy slam dunk for them, right? Who is he the most popular with? There's two groups that he is super popular with. Kids and the hardcore fans, right? The disenfranchised, WWE sucks. I still watch it, but I'm not happy with it. He appeals to both. Yeah. So you finally have a baby face that's really over. He's a good wrestler, good look. Why are you not pulling the trigger? And sometimes it has to do with incompetent booking. Sometimes they just don't see it as quickly as other people do. Maybe they have this long drawn out plan for Riddle that they don't want to veer away from. I don't know exactly what the story with him is, but I mean, they have an opportunity right now. And you're right. They did this weird backdoor. They should have never done last week where he lost to Omos after that match. I think he should have come on Raw and beat somebody flat out. Easy breezy. Just a cakewalk. And then they go into this Money in the Bank thing where it's not like a fluke. Oh, my God. He should be so happy. Turn him into something real. You know, you lost Cody right now. Give him that little bit of that Cody push and that top tier baby face, you know, feel to the audience. And then go from there. I you don't have too many opponents for a Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns at this point. You have told everybody, your entire audience, that 99% of the time it doesn't even matter who they're in the ring with because they're going to win. Now you have a guy that maybe can beat him. You know, him and Brock. Imagine that. Imagine Riddle and Brock. And Riddle doesn't need to win, but man, you know, he's an MMA guy. Brock's an MMA guy. What an organic story built in.
Yes.
You know, they have this chance. Riddle is fascinating to me because he really changed his whole persona to get to where he is in that company. I think they recognize it.
I would imagine he's done it sort of not on his own, but you know how there's certain folks who can get over even when the company doesn't necessarily have giant plans for him, you know, Zack Ryder being maybe the biggest example of that. But he was able to turn crappy dialogue into something that resonated with the fans. He's helped get Randy Orton over to the biggest that Randy's been in a long time, and just likable. Like, when has Randy Orton been so likable?
He's never been like that. The only babyface run, right? This was his only real successful babyface run. You're absolutely right. He was never like, he's been likable as like a wrestler, as a character, but never likable as a babyface. And you hit the nail on the head. Matt Riddle did that.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I was trying to waste enough time so we didn't have to talk about this show that much, but I just want to quickly go over the card as it is right now with you, and I want you to give me a little bit of a heat index here. Give me a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a thumbs in the middle for all right now, six matches. All right, I'm going to start with Bianca Belair versus Carmella. What do you think about? Are you excited to watch this match?
How did Carmella become the number one contender?
She's pretty.
I guess so.
That's probably
why. It's worked for me. No, she has a great look. She's fine. But I feel like, you know, it hurts her when you're like, hey, listen, we don't have an opponent. Carmella, you go in here.
Yeah.
You know,
because she's not the first choice. If she was this held back person who's been, you know, working really hard and getting over and doing all these great matches, and then you kind of put that person in, then it's like, oh yeah, we're ready. But she was not someone that I think most people would have.
And I'm not knocking her. I'm just saying, you know, I would have loved to see some sort of build for her to get to that point. You know, maybe she comes back. She's like, F this. Like, you guys don't take me serious or whatever. It's so easy when you have someone that kind of has that look that you could just rehab immediately with just building them back to that title picture. It becomes such an overthinking, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking. Maybe they're not overthinking. Maybe they should. It does nothing for me right now.
All right. So thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Okay. Men's Money in the Bank ladder match. Seth versus Drew versus Sheamus versus Omos versus Sami Zayn versus Matt Riddle and versus, what did you say, Turnbuckle Dan versus Turnbuckle Dan?
Turnbuckle Dan. Yeah, when Cody was in this match, I was very happy for it. Now with Riddle in it, I'm into it also. It fixed it for me a little bit. I don't know who should take it. I mean, can you do Riddle, or do you do Riddle, Drew, or Seth? Maybe do Seth.
I think it's maybe Seth, Seth's the dude. But then they're also teasing that the person who may win this could cash in at the end of SummerSlam, right? Because Brock and Roman are going to kill each other and they're going to be toasted. And then that person could come in at the end and create that moment. So
they did a good job of telling that.
I mean, maybe they're telegraphing it and then they won't do it, but it's not a bad idea. I think people would really enjoy it, but I think it has to be a heel. And if you're going to do that, if it's Seth, he's already done it before. He's a heel. But, you know, when they do it with like Big E, I don't think it works well because he's a babyface. He should want to face the guys, you know, when they're fresh. Okay. I'm sort of thumbs in the middle, though. I think Seth and Drew and Riddle, you know, will create a pretty fun match. So, you know, thumbs in the middle leaning up. For the women's ladder match, it's Lacey Evans, Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Raquel Rodriguez, Asuka, Shotzi, and Becky Lynch. Once they added Becky Lynch to this, I'm back to sort of a thumbs in the middle, you know, maybe even leaning up. But before they added her back to the match, and I thought that she was going to be in it anyways, I was like, man, this one's going to be tough. Though, I do have an interest in seeing Raquel. I'm very interested to see what they do with her, because I always really liked her on NXT. And so this is her first real chance.
Yeah, they're big on her. and she's impressive. You know, she's tall. She has a look. I had very little interest into this. I still really, it's not, it, they didn't do a good enough job for me. Not saying it's not going to be a good match. It could be a good match. I think Becky being added, like you said, it's a big addition, but they, it just, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. So by the way, Jeremy Finestone, who does some stuff with me, he said Carmella won a five way to get into it. Yeah. I realized realized that she won something. It was just more so why Carmella
the
versus
story.
Anyone else. Okay. Ronda versus Natalya. They're going at each other, man. On Instagram, on social media, they're making fun of each other, going for the low blows. But you know they're friends in real life, so I'm sure you know this. Because if they were not friends in real life, I'd worry for Natalya's life come Sunday.
Oh my God.
But yeah. So what do you think about Ronda and Natalya?
I'm a little bit more into, cause I think that they have good chemistry together. They've worked together and Ronda was really trained by Natty. A lot of the training that she did hands on was through Natalya. So I think they'll have a good match. I'm just, this run for Ronda has been very strange. It's been, just totally lacklustered. And I don't know if it's like, she's not feeling it or the shit that they're giving her. I rarely curse on the show and I did it. This is like one of the second times I did it on the show.
I'm gonna have to change the thing on YouTube when you monetize it.
Oh, explicit,
slight, explicit. Yeah, slight curse words or whatever it is.
I think they'll have a good match. I just feel like if Ronda's run was bigger, it would be a much bigger obvious match. But I think they'll have a good match.
I do too. I still think it's a little bit of a thumbs in the middle. Unfortunately for them, you know, Sasha Banks was supposed to be in this, and Natalya's fine. She's a solid wrestler. Nobody really takes her seriously as a championship contender, which is, I think, what's hurting this match. All right. Usos versus the Street Profits for the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship. How do you feel about this one?
This would be a really good match. It's interesting to me that they don't have other opponents in this. I know the Viking Raiders came back, so obviously they got a little bit of a refresh and new coat of paint, but
AEW has 50,000 tag teams and WWE has
my
three.
God. why? And you know, WWE was pushing the tag teams. I think there was a moment that their tag division was good with like six people. Like they had a good tag division with the small group of people that they had.
Yeah.
But it is a night and day comparison, right? Between WWE's tag team and AEW's tag teams. They'll have a great match. These both tag teams are unbelievable.
Oh, here's what I want. I want the pay-per-view version of the Monday Night Raw match. If they give us a Monday Night Raw match, I'm going to be pretty disappointed. I want to see the pay-per-view version. Give these guys 18 minutes. Let's do... let's not get hurt now because lots of people are getting hurt. So we don't have to go crazy. I'm just talking about the length. You know, there's going to be time on this show, man. They're, you know, it's not like they have a ton. Those Money in the Bank ladder matches will be a little bit longer. But let this be the match where when it's all said and done, people go, hey, Money in the Bank was fun. You got to see this match. And that's what I hope this match is going to be. So I'm thumbs up for it. But they can also disappoint when it comes to stuff like this and give you the house show version or the Raw version. I want to see the pay-per-view version. All right. Not even the main event. It's just the last match on this card on the Wikipedia page. Austin Theory versus Bobby Lashley. What a weird feud this is.
Like, very strange.
I was watching Raw, and my main takeaway from Theory was he's not really ready for all of the things that they give him to do. But I'm still excited and interested to see him kind of find his own way and really take advantage of the opportunity. And my fear is that at some point Vince goes, you know what, this isn't working. Cut this thing. And then he goes and starts just losing, you know, all these matches. That's my fear for Austin Theory. But I do enjoy him. I do really, you're sort of watching someone kind of blossom into what they're going to become. I just worry that he's been given a little bit too much and maybe maybe we're not seeing, maybe we're a little bit, maybe he's a little overexposed, I guess I would say is the right word, but he faces Lashley. I'm not sure what kind of match they're going to have other than Lashley's going to probably beat the heck out of him. And, you know, maybe he does, you know, gets a win somehow, but just takes a beating. I'm not exactly sure. That's what I'm guessing is going to happen. But overall, what is your rating, your heat index for this one?
A dud. There really isn't much. Listen, and I know I seem really critical today of their product, but I mean that's the truth.
This is the time. I mean, to give a pay per view on paper, pay per view a beating is this one for sure.
Yeah, it's not. They have not done anything to make me say, my God, I need to watch the show.
Yeah,
they haven't done it, and you know what? And you could tell. You know why? These people wanted to sell out a stadium.
Yep.
I don't think they ever went into it thinking they're going to have 60,000 people in it, but 100% they thought they could get about 25 to 30,000 people in that building. At one point, they told me maybe they could do 40, you know, like last year, this time, you know, when they announced it at SummerSlam, people were like, well, if they do 35, 40,000, that's great. And what did they do that?
They did nothing. If you could have put Cena on this show, get him for back-to-back pay-per-views, they might have been able to do it, right?
Oh, you could. You know what? They could have done it with Cody, Cena, Brock, Edge, Roman. They could have done Randy. They could have done
Edge.
That. But I mean, the reality is they weren't going to. They chose not to do it. You know, whatever it was. But this show was a disaster from day one.
I got bad news for you.
Yes,
we're 2 minutes over.
Oh crap! Lance is going to scream at us.
you think Dave? Call. You think Dave putting you in a headlock is bad? Lance may put the both of us in a headlock. We're 2 minutes over, so we might as well end it here.
A Boston Crab.
All right, that was a fun show. Really appreciate it. Thanks to Mel from the Power Bombshells who came on. She was there live and will be at Blood and Guts tomorrow. And obviously, thanks to you. You got Matt Mann coming up on Thursday.
Yes, sir. And then, Wrestling Observer. Actually, I am not. I got to ask somebody to
July,
sub
man.
In for me. Oh, no,
Fourth
I'm not
of
here.
July weekend.
I'm going to my upstate house for the weekend.
Yeah, it's a vacation time. Fourth of July is
it
vacation
is a vacation time.
Time. You were forgetting me. You know what you should do is like play an old IATA Brian and Dave.
And nobody will notice.
Line.
Yeah, nobody will notice. I'll just play the old IATA. Yeah, you know what I'll do? I'll play the Invasion one. I'll play an episode where they talk about the Invasion.
That'd be awesome. All right. Andrew and I are done here. Thanks to everybody for watching. Thanks to everybody for listening on the podcast feed. And we are out of here. So for Mel, for Andrew, I'm Double G. We'll see you when we see you. Peace out.